Wednesday. I didn't put the date. Yeah, I know what day it is. I just didn't put the date on it. All right, this isn't going to be a long teaching since we had such a long one Sunday. But the title is called Epistles Written in Our Hearts. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple of chapters here, 3 and 4, kind of set the stage. Start with verse 1 there. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through God to Christ to Godward, now that we are sufficient of, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. I'd heard someone say one time, or maybe it says in the scripture, Moses didn't put the veil on his face to keep them from seeing the glory. It was to not let them see the glory was fading. It was a passing thing. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right, bear with me. We're going to read chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministration, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm very thankful to the Lord for the disclosure that he's given to me out of the book of Revelation. The veil is still upon the face concerning most of Israel. They can't seem to get it that Moses and the tabernacle and the temple no longer exist in the will of God, and to see that now the epistles are written on our hearts. They don't get that concept. Sadly, most of the church buys into the don't touch natural Israel doctrine, not realizing that they are the new Jerusalem, which includes Jew and Gentile. We have all been given our part to work in God's vineyard and accomplish his will. Okay, with that, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to read the first 17 verses here. Bear with me. But the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed, I said Matthew 20, right? When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. One time the Lord spoke to Danny about that, about we weren't hired yet. I said, Lord, what gives? Well, you ain't hired yet. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. When they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Okay, well, what's that all about? The parable sums it up right here. We see jealousy here. We bore all the work. You are the new kids on the block. Regardless of how the Jews feel or the Christian church idolizes Israel, God has equaled the playing field and grafted us newbies in. We've been grafted in. The first and last receive the same pay. We're all working in the vineyard of the Lord, in our times and in our seasons, but we all get the same pay. Yeah, but you shouldn't get that. I've been doing it for 50 years, and here you just step on the scene, and you're going to get the same as me? The temple made with hands has been destroyed, and now we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, not made with hands. The devil is still alive and well and always aiming to cause strife and division. It is no different today than it was when God moved out of the box and into the hearts of men. The same struggle, the same fight, the same, you don't have any right that the Jews try to impose on the Gentiles. We are here to stay, and if they want to be a part of God's plan, they will just have to get over it. I'll be glad when they finally get over it and get off their high horses. All this strife has kept us fighting. While we have been busy doing that, the devil has nearly taken out everything and taken over everything. They'd rather fight among themselves than to see what's really going on and try to be of some help of some kind. Our focus should be on the seed war. Let's go to Revelation 12. It's interesting how the Lord puts things together sometimes. I would have never thought of this. Starting with verse 1 there. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, whatever that means. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, we see here the dragon was wroth with the woman. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus, and it's not one of Jacob's wives. The woman is Eve. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. The mother of all living. So the dragon was wroth with the woman. Satan is at war with her seed. All right, let's read Genesis here. This is Genesis 3, just the first 13 verses here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. I'm not going to read about Adam. That's not necessary. Okay. Her deception started the seed war. Right here. This is 14 and 15 I just read to you right here. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Eve, the mother of all living. Eve, the mother of all women. Think about that. Paul makes a statement. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of every Christ is God. Wait a minute, I'm reading the wrong thing. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. Let me look. Is there a 2 Corinthians 11? All right. It's 2 Corinthians. Sorry about that. All right. Would to God you would bear with me a little, but in my folly and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted for the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Paul is saying that just as Eve was deceived, do not let yourself be. The Jews have mostly hardened their hearts, and most have not received this simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. All right, starting with verse 4 there. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking in me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied in all things. I have kept myself from being burdened And you know what? I'm reading the wrong thing again. Just a minute. That got me off. Sorry. Well, go back. I guess I was right. Go back to second. All right. Oh, okay. That was right. Where did I stop? Robbed other churches, verse 8, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So what's Paul saying here? He's warning about the circumcision. God is no longer in the box. Because this is something that's been infiltrated in the church ever since we've been in it. People giving heed to going back under the law and doing Jewish customs as if Christ, what he did and what he died for was not enough. All right. Let's go over to Romans now. All right, go to verse 11 there. This is 11, Romans 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provide them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may prove to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. He's called to the Gentiles, but his heart is to save those of Israel, bring them to salvation. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and they standest by faith. Be not high-minded. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have not now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how searchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Okay, I don't know if this is making any sense to y'all, but anyway, 1 Timothy. In other words, we have been so busy, the Jews have been stirred up against the church, and there's been a fight going on in our world. The devil has run roughshod and nearly took the whole world over, and they're still infighting about this very thing. All right, now, 1 Timothy 2. Am I right? 1 Timothy, yeah, okay. 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, that the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Okay, nearly done here. Much of the church have always thought that that Paul was a woman hater, but nothing could be further from the truth. Childbearing here means parentage. Parentage. Let's go back to Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. All right, one more scripture, Galatians 2:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The childbearing saved us. That childbearing is giving reverence to Jesus that saved us all. Revelation 12, go back there. Starting with verse 1 there, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as it was born. This is a seed war. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. God was telling us all right there in Genesis 3 what he was going to do. How he was going to redeem mankind through childbearing. He was going to deliver right here. We see it in Revelation. Anyway, right here. God was telling us all right there in Genesis 3 what he was going to do. Man fell, but God was sending in a Savior to undo what the fall caused. No longer under the curse, but redeemed from it. What she did doomed all mankind for all time. But God reversed it and said, through the agony of childbearing, there's going to be a child come forth that's going to pay the price. And that was Jesus. That was interesting, isn't it? Yeah.